It's a hot scorcher this afternoon here at Free Radio Santa Cruz 96.3 FM. It's 5:30. My name's the V-Man, and it's time for Rockin' the Boat. On today's show, I'll be speaking with David Long. He is a co-founder and DJ at Radio Free Brattleboro, who was shut down on Tuesday, June 24th by the FCC. We'll get the whole story here on Rockin' the Boat. Stand by, stay tuned. Got a whole lot of stuff coming your way. On the cusp of celebrating 5 years of community radio, the Federal Communications Commission unexpectedly entered the studios of Radio Free Brattleboro in Vermont on Tuesday, June 24th, and ordered the station to cease and desist from broadcasting. That's from a press release put out by Radio Free Brattleboro. I'm joined right now on the telephone by one of their co-founders and a longtime programmer, David Long. Hi, David.
Hello. Nice to talk to you, Vinny.
Sorry to hear about the FCC visit and the subsequent shutdown of Radio Free Brattleboro. Give us a little bit of a thumbnail sketch about the station, how you guys came together, and the type of programming you're offering to the Brattleboro, Vermont community.
Okay. Well, we got together in the summer of 97. It was, you know, a small group of 5 to 10 people who were, as soon as we started talking, we realized we were all dissatisfied with what was available musically in our town. And we wanted to hear different things, and we saw an opportunity. We organized, and after about 8 months of fundraising and training and research, we went on the air in the summer of 98. And 5 years without any interruptions from federal authorities, we had to change locations a couple of times locally. But we've steadily grown, and we've always supported ourselves with dues. And it was founded on a free speech principle that DJs are, as long as they behave responsibly, are free to do whatever they want with their program. And we end up with everything from talk shows to heavy metal shows to kids playing pop and, you know, reggae, and all the way through the spectrum.
So you've been on the air almost 5 years. You mentioned that you had to change frequencies. What frequency did you start at, and where did you end up at?
We started it, and we're at 88.1 FM until June 17th of this year. And then we made a change, and the change, I think, is unrelated to the visit, but the change was because there was a public radio station that was going to take our airwave, was going to take our frequency, and we were looking at sometime in the very near future of having to compete for that airspace, knowing we wouldn't be able to hold it. Mm-hmm. We moved somewhere else, and I think just coincidentally, we were visited relatively shortly thereafter.
And you mentioned that you've never been the recipient of an FCC visit in the past?
That is correct.
What other kinds of enforcement action has the station received?
Nothing of any note, really. I mean, in all our years of broadcasting, there's been one letter in the newspaper in our first few months on the air complaining about kids playing, you know, heavy metal at 4 in the afternoon. And otherwise, the community has really supported us locally, and no one in this whole state has ever said anything about Radio Free Brattleboro except how great it was. I was just approached by a representative of the state of Vermont at a local function, and he asked me for, you know, a one-page proposal about how he could get us funding through the legislature on how to expand our range and let us broadcast to more people. So we've been very upfront in being I've seen your website and with your skulls and the FCC incompetence, and we agree with you 100%, but we've taken a very community-based approach to. And I think it's worked. The community has always supported us, and we're finding a lot of support right now too, which is important.
And I read that there's some video footage of the FCC visit. What does the tape show? And did the FCC come with any kind of search warrant?
I do not think that they showed Radio Free Brattleboro representatives a search warrant. I'm not sure they spoke to the managers of the building before they spoke to us. Mm-hmm. But we do have videotape of the exchange. It was probably about 20 minutes of videotape. And it's pretty good quality, and it really it does let us know quite well what was said and what where they're coming from. I got distracted.
That's cool.
They did not have a search warrant, and they didn't have any paperwork. They just came in and told us to turn off our system. And after a discussion, we did turn it off. We then talked to them more, trying to get information about the app, about what they were trying to get make us do. And then they left. There was a local police officer that they called, I think because we have a lot of people around our station, and there were a few people hanging out, and they were concerned perhaps about that.
So essentially what I'm hearing is that the property owner let the FCC into the building?
The building is open during the day, but they did visit the office and were directed to our offices.
And
we're in a downtown building right on the main street in town.
So they didn't leave any paperwork with the DJs?
They left a business card, and they took our staff roster.
So there was no seizure of any equipment?
No, there was no seizure. There was definitely a threat that if we turn it back on, they will come back.
Okay, so you guys basically volunteered.
The Attorney General and the U.S. Marshals and seize everything and put it in jail, as they said.
I see. So it was essentially a voluntary shutdown? Is that the proper way of...
So far, yeah.
Okay. I understand now. I wasn't quite sure if it was a seizure or if it was a voluntary shutdown.
No, it was definitely just a visit to tell us to behave. They said something curious, and maybe you know an answer to this. They said that if we don't turn that transmitter back on, we're eligible to apply for an LPFM license.
My understanding of the law is that is correct, that once notified that a station is in violation of FCC laws, that if they comply with the order within 24 hours, they are still eligible. From my understanding of the LPFM rulemaking that went through in the year 2000. However, that doesn't necessarily make the LPFM rulemaking, that doesn't make it worthwhile. That doesn't mean
right.
A whole lot, at least from my reading of the rulemaking. But I guess maybe we could talk about where things are going in Brattleboro with Free Radio there. Has the station had a meeting, and what is the general sense of the collective there? Is there sort of a move to carry on with the station, or do people feel like now's the time to kind of stay quiet?
Well, there's a range. We did have a meeting. This happened Tuesday afternoon, and on Wednesday evening we met for almost 4 hours and continue to meet this morning. We're definitely in a consensus that we need to take some time off the air right now and assess our situation, perhaps get some advice and get some legal advice. And then we had three choices basically, which was to go right back on the air, to take some time and, you know, do our research and go back on the air, or to pack it in and wait for LPFM to come to this town. There's an application that's been in for 2 years now with them and has not been granted in this town. So, as we know, that process is really dragged out.
Right.
That being the third option, we've pretty much chosen two and have that second option to do some research and then to definitely explore going back on the air in some way, definitely explore taking on the FCC on some level to remain on the airwaves. We've been a really responsible community presence. We've responded to complaints that people have had before, and we've made adjustments that have appeased them. And as responsible broadcasters, we're feeling that we need to be included in this process. We broadcast at 10 and just recently 20 watts, so we're not even in the 100-watt range that they're offering a license in, and we feel like we're still being excluded from the community, you know, from being able to participate in community radio legally.
Mm-hmm. I'm speaking with David Long. He's a co-founder and DJ at Radio Free Brattleboro, who were voluntarily shut down on Tuesday, June 24th, after an FCC visit. We have about 5 minutes left, David, so maybe you can give us some contact information. You guys have a website, which is no longer up on the Internet, but...
Curious coincidence there. It's hosted on another website, and it has been down since approximately their visit. We can be contacted. I'll give out my personal email here for people who'd like to contact me at selector, S-E-L-E-C-T-O-R. That's S-E-L-E-C-T-O-R at Sover, S-O-V-E-R, .net. And I would be happy to answer questions and talk to people about the situation. We're seeing a lot of interest, both locally and in people we talk to around the country in this. As longtime unlicensed broadcasters, you know it's going to happen at some point, and when it does, it's definitely still a bit of a shock.
Mm-hmm. I hear that. And if people in our listening audience want to help you guys out, is there a P.O. box or somewhere they can send donations or letters of interest?
Yes, we do have a mailing address, and we would certainly would appreciate support from all listeners of community radio. Our address is Radio Free Brattleboro, B-R-A-T-T-L-E-B-O-R-O, at Post Office Box 1951, Brattleboro, Vermont. And our zip code is 05302. The number in the studio is 802-258-9879 if anyone would like to leave a voicemail message with us. And I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to talk about this on your station. What would your radio station have done with a FCC visit such as one we had, where unfortunately our DJs who are in the studio at the moment let them in?
Yeah, that's a tough call. If it was me, I would have immediately asked for a search warrant or a seizure warrant or something, and if no paperwork was present, I would have not opened the door. But if there were a seizure order present or a search warrant or something, I probably would cooperate, because at that point you're getting into like a broken door or possibly physical violence of some sort. So it's a tough call, but yeah, I think the best thing is to be informed in advance, and maybe in the future,
right,
if you guys do go on the air, it should be sort of an explicit policy to make that that procedure part of any FCC visit. You know, ask for the warrant and we would probably put it on the air immediately, have people come down to the studio, that sort of thing. In fact, here locally, we've been having some of our own interference problems with another station, a Christian rock station that purchased our frequency, 96.3, in Salinas, which is sort of east of here. But they have a directional antenna aimed right at our town, and so it kind of cut off a good portion of our listenership to the east of where we broadcast from, and it's kind of a drag. There's not much we can do about it. They have the FCC gave them a construction permit for this facility, and
right,
it's kind of out of our hands. The only thing we can do now probably would be to move or put up our own sort of translator station on a new frequency to fill in those areas that are now being cut out by the Godcaster.
All right. Do you folks see any legal recourse? Do you see any hope in the FCC activity in Congress right now?
No, I don't have any faith in the FCC proceedings.
I'm not holding out for that either, I guess.
We in fact, as a collective, came to a consensus during the whole LPFM discussion that we would actively not seek a low-power FM license.
Right, as we did, too.
I mean, we actively went out of our way not to seek a license. Like, we didn't support the LPFM proceeding one iota. There are many flaws with it, particularly the no pirate clause, which stipulates that after 24 hours of an FCC visit, you're ineligible if you don't shut down.
Right.
And the third adjacent protection standard was kept in place. There's other deficiencies with the LPFM proceeding as well.
Yeah, but I feel a lot of sympathy for the people in the urban areas where there's no airspace for them.
I do too.
And I'm in a rural area of a town of 10,000 people, and there's only two places on the dial for an LPFM.
Yeah,
I can't imagine what it's like in higher areas. I'm sure we both need to go right now.
Yeah, we do. It's right about 6 o'clock. David Long of Radio Free Brattleboro, we hope to hear you guys back on the air soon.
Oh, well, I hope to have you on my show shortly.
I'd love that.
Okay.
All
well,
right.
look for it, because I don't think we're going to go very quietly on this. We're still, as I said, deciding our course of action, but there's quite a few of us who'd like to just go in and start broadcasting and, you know, make them come and take it away.
Yeah. Push their hand,
really
make them call their bluff. That's how I say.
Yeah, exactly. They're definitely a lot of smoke and mirrors over there.
All right. Well,
we'll take good care.
We hope to hear you back on soon, David.
All right. Free radio.
Thanks.
Peace.
Bye.
Bye.
And you're tuned to Rockin' the Boat. That was David Long, Radio Free Brattleboro co-founder. Again, once their website's back up, it's rfb.fm, www.rfb.fm. FM. I want to thank you for joining me here tonight on Rockin' the Boat. I'm just out of time. Stand by, stay tuned. Got more coming up.